My gracious. Hey, take your Bibles. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. Something I've never done in a sermon. But I want to read this passage in a different text. Actually, it was a translation that Dr. Eugene Peterson wrote his dissertation. He translated the New Testament into kind of a common language, and it's called The Message. Many of you read it. I wouldn't necessarily call it a translation. It's just a, actually, it was his dissertation is what he wrote it on. But I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, in The Message. Now, what I thought, I said, nobody probably brought The Message here unless you have your phones or your iPad. And so I put it, it's going to all be up on the scripture, on the screen. And then we're going to dive into 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, okay? And that'll be from what I normally preach from. But here's what I want to do. So would you please stand in honor of reading God's Word? Let me tell you what we're going to be talking about. Unreached, no more. Our goal is to prayerfully and then physically go and one day, see the unreached be reached. Amen? Yes. This is going to sound like a strange chapter and verse for me to be reading from, but hang with me here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, listen to this, church of God, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. I am bankrupt without love. Heavenly Father, please speak in these next few minutes. God, I long for the day of Revelation 7:9 when every tribe, tongue, nation, and people will be around your throne. And God, there's nothing that I or this church or any other preacher can do to really paint that picture of what it's going to be. God, may that truth burn deep within our hearts to make us love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now I want you to hear me. I can't make you love the Pinoy and the Akha people of Southeast Asia. Hear me, okay? I can't make you love the Pinoy people group or the Akha people group of Southeast Asia. I can't do that. It's physically impossible for me to make you love them. Only God can cause you to love these people with a love that he places in your heart. You see, if we truly would see lost people the way God sees lost people, then we would love lost people the way God loves lost people. God sees that. Let me tell you this. God sees these people high on top of a mountain in Southeast Asia as those he sent his son to die for. I want you to listen to what William Wilberforce said about the Moravian missionaries. If there is no passionate love for Christ at the center of everything, we will only jingle and jangle our way across the world, merely making a noise as we go. Paul said that if I speak but without love, I'm a clashing cymbal. I'm just a clanging cymbal. I'm just making noise. Hear me, church. So what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to get along with God and really pray through God giving you a burning love for not only the lost, but for the Pinoy and the Akha people that we're going to adopt. Lenore and I wondered, how would we love Asher? We had Anley and had Deuce, and we wondered. So often we'd say, okay, we're about to adopt this little boy, and God, how are we going to love him the way we love our other kids? How is that going to happen? And can I just say this? It was nothing that all of a sudden it just popped into her head. And I was like, oh, okay, if I do A, B, and C, then okay, this will happen. If I do 1, 2, 3, no. Can I tell you this? God just gave us that love. Have you ever wondered, how can I love this kid? You had that first kid and say, how can I love the other one? Then God just gives it to you. Except with me. My mom and dad love me more than any of the rest of them. Are y'all like that? Were y'all that favorite too? But anyway. And so you wonder, though. You wonder sometimes. You're like, hey, which, by the way, Vance Havner said, God doesn't have favorites. He has intimacy. You're as close to God right now as you want to be. You are as close to God right now as you want to be. And so I'm asking you to get along with God, because none of this sermon will make sense to you if you're not asking God to give you a heart to love these people with. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to listen to it just real briefly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to what it says. Finally, brethren. So Paul's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Just as it is with you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this one verse. I'm telling you, I'm going to take this one verse. God is so good, and show us exactly what we're asking for and what we're called to do in Southeast Asia amongst the Pinoy and the Akha people group, okay? First of all, what is Paul asking, and then what is Pastor Chad asking? Well, first of all, there's partnership. There's partnership. That's what he says. He says, finally, brethren. Listen to me. In other words, Paul understood, I can't do what I'm about to do, and I can't keep doing what I'm doing unless I have the church of God wrapped around me. I've got to have the brethren, I've got to have the Thessalonica church come beside me and pray for me and love on me. Church, listen to me. You know one of the reasons what we did with Randy Copeland with School to the Nations, when they introduced these two people groups to us, we went and I took all the staff out to School to the Nations, and he taught us what about these people, because I wanted the staff to be on board. We met with the elders. We talked with our... Listen to me. The church, this can't just be this group of people come together and support what we're doing. It's got to be the whole church. We've got to come together in partnership. Everybody in my family came together in partnership when we adopted Asher. I'm telling you, listen to me. My mama, Lenore's parents, I mean, that's their grandson. They came together. That's my grandson. These are God's people, and you and I need a partner to come alongside and to see them know Jesus. So when he says finally there, here's why I love Paul. Paul was a Baptist preacher. Paul said finally. He wasn't stopping. Here's what he was saying. I need you to really listen, because what I'm about to say, I've told you a lot of things, but what I'm about to say is probably the most important. That's what it literally means when he says finally. The rest of the matter, the last issue at hand. Paul was saying this. He was saying, I have spoken to you about other matters, but now I have one more thing to say, and here's what it is. Finally, brethren, pray for me. Do you know that the Bible says that Paul was in Thessalonica for 3 Sabbaths? 3 weeks. 3 weeks. That church was 3 weeks old. I want y'all to listen to me. And Paul was asking them to pray for me. If we're not careful, we'll say, we need to go to some of them seasoned saints and ask them to pray. Do you know that Olivia and Ethan, that were baptized just a moment ago up there? Do you know that you probably, they're more likely to pray for us than some people I know? Look, if you know Jesus, you can pray. Pray for us. I asked Anley Ruth last night. I'm telling you, I've been emotional all yesterday and this morning when I was reading scripture and everything. I said, hey, baby girl, daddy needs you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me that daddy will be able to stand up and preach God's word the way he wants. Why? Because listen to me, we've got to pray. Listen, how would you like to have this name? Jonathan Goforth. Jonathan Goforth was a missionary. He was the missionary to China. He said this, all movements of the spirit in China within our experience may be traced by prayer, back to prayer. movements can be traced back to prayer. He said, brethren, pray for us. He is pleading for them to pray for him. He is asking his spiritual family to get involved in the life and ministry of his work. And that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you, hey, I want y'all to hear me. And because some of you may not like it, but you prayed me here. We can pray them into the kingdom. We can pray them into the kingdom. I'm asking you, church family that I love with all my heart, please join with us and let's pray. He said, pray for. Now, this is going to sound crazy. In his request, he said, pray for me. The word for there is the Greek word peri. Listen to this. It means to tie about, to attach, or to be around. Here's what Paul was asking him to do. This is so good. I need you to tie yourself to me, to attach yourself to me, to be around me in everywhere I go, so I know that I know that my family is tied to me. They're attached to me. They're praying for me everywhere I go. We've got some, are they magnets? Out here in the missions office, magnets, pray for the Pinoy people, pray for the Akha people. We're going to get you some other information. I want you to tie yourself to these people. You take that smartphone, you set you an alarm, or you set something every day of the week, every day, every single day, you ought to have something that goes off to remind you to pray for the Akha and pray for the Pinoy people. Number two, partnership, prayer request. What does he ask them to do? Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. That the word of the Lord may run swiftly. Now, when he says the word of the Lord, here's what it literally means. The word that originates from God. That's what it means. That's what that term means. Can I just say this? Paul didn't have some bestseller book at Lifeway. Paul didn't have the latest sermons that some other preacher preached. Paul had a word that originated from God. Listen to me, Ridgecrest Baptist Church in 21st century in America, in this free country. You and I had that same word. You say, man, I wish I had an original word. We do, right here. God's original word is the Bible, and that's the book for me, and that's the book that they don't even have it one if where we're going. And so we need to make sure that in the country that we're going to, they have a copy of the word of God. But in this village, listen to me, there's no Bible up there. But we're going to change that. Nobody, listen to this, nobody can ever get saved apart from the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Many of you took me up on reading the book Insanity of God. And if you remember in some of those parts of Insanity of God, when Nick Ripken comes out of this one compound that he had been staying in, he comes out. And when he comes out, some Chinese missionaries are all Chinese pastors are all out and they're ripping the Bible and they're passing it out. They're ripping pages out, passing out. Why? Because they don't have a completed Bible. And so they would just rip out portions of Psalms. And I got to thinking, God bless the person that gets Philemon. And that's the only one you get, you know, one chapter, you know. And you get Psalm 119, you know, whoa, 150 verses. And I don't mean to make that lighthearted, but I do know this. Everybody look right up here. And listen, I'm not being legalistic. Please hear me. I'm not being legalistic when I say what I'm about to say. How many of you this past week hungered for the Word of God and got up and had a daily meal on His Word? And yet we have people. I just want to encourage you to do it. You know why? It'll change you. This book is life. It will literally change you. Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. That's what we're trying to do. What you say, Pastor, why do we send the Bible? Why do we want to give them the Word of God? Because it's alive. The word run there, it was used to describe a runner running in a race in a stadium. Paul saw himself in a race to preach the gospel to as many souls as he could. Listen, getting people saved was not a part of his life. Getting people saved was his life. That's what we've got to understand. Getting people saved shouldn't be a part of our life. It should be our life. Listen, if there is a heaven, if there is a hell, and if Jesus really did die to save us and to forgive us, then what else could be important? Nothing else is as important as that. The word was also used to speak of messengers who went behind enemy lines to carry vital instructions to those who waited on the other side. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Let me tell you what's happened to these people in Southeast Asia. The God of this world, the little g, the little God of this world, Satan has blinded their eyes. You saw the pictures when Pastor James was up here speaking, and it was of the Buddhist monk that was there in their village, and you should have seen the different statues they would bring out and they would have, and they'd be worshiping that statue, and they'd be putting water on it and bringing sacrifices to it. The God of this world has blinded their eyes. And the only hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ that can shine and break through that darkness. Swiftly, he said, pray for me that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. The word means a constant and continuous race. Paul was saying, pray that we will be able to keep up the pace that is required for us to get the message out. So I want everybody to put their pens down, phones down, Bibles down, and wake the neighbor up and look at me. Listen again to the words. Listen again to the words that Paul used. Please hear me. He said, run swiftly. I looked up different versions. That it may spread rapidly. Talking about the word of the Lord. That it may speed ahead. Have you ever been talking to somebody, hey, speed on up ahead and see what's up there? Run swiftly. Spread rapidly. Speed ahead. Have free course. So I wrote a question now. Ridgecrest, do you hear the urgency in this verse? Why didn't Paul just say this? Hey, listen, guys. Pray for us that the word of God may crawl slowly. Because they have all the time in the world. Okay? They have all the time. And it's not that important. It's not that important. Listen, America, American Christians, Ridgecrest, you're comfortable. We're not hurting. We're comfortable. Take your time. Don't be urgent. Take your time. Crawl slowly and give them the Bible. Did he say that? He said, run swiftly. Run swiftly. Speed ahead. Have free course. Spread it rapidly. Why? Because in this world, two people die every second. 160 million people a day will die and go into eternity. And according to the Bible, Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, few will find the narrow way that it is to heaven. Few will find. Do you understand that millions of people are dying and going to hell? And every single person, since we've been gone back in April up until now, every single person amongst the Pinoy people and the Akha people, every single one of them that died went to hell. They are in hell right now. And I wonder if they could come, would they ask us what took us so long? What took us so long to give them the gospel? Can you imagine if you saw someone dying and you had the cure and you said, well, wait a minute, I'm kind of liking what I'm doing though. I'm at this stage of life where I can do what I want. It's only good news if it gets there in time. I don't want anybody to have, and I know I'm going to have people say this to me one day. Chad Grayson, what took you so long to get to me with the gospel? You really believe, you said you believed that he died and rose again and that he could forgive me of my sins. Why didn't you tell me that? You knew I was sick with sin. You knew I was going to die and go to hell. Why didn't you tell me about him? And I just crawled. He says, run swiftly. Get after it. Run, run, run. Do whatever you have to do. It's a relay. We can all maybe go, but you can all pray. You can all give financially. Isabel Kuhn, missionary to China, said this. We're about to be done. I believe that in each generation, God has called enough men and women to evangelize all the yet unreached tribes of the earth. In each generation, God has given enough people to reach everybody. So listen. It is not God who does not call. It is man who does not respond. We're responding, though. That's what today's about. We're responding. Amen? 10:31 is going to be here in the next service, so I got to practice that one instead of high-fiving. Lastly, partnership. We're together. We're a body. Family. I love my family. I love you. Prayer requests. We're praying that the word of God will run swiftly to the Akha and the Pinoy people for one purpose. One purpose. Hey, listen to me. We're doing all this for one purpose. Listen to what he says. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. And be glorified. Can I tell you the purpose? Here we go. I think it's up on the screen. His glory. Do you know, listen to me, do you know that God delights when he gets glory? He loves it when his people point somebody else to him. He loves to be bragged on. He loves that we do what we do because we love him. We just love him. We love him so we serve. We love him so we go. We love him so we give. We love him so we pray. We love him so we obey. We love him and it causes him to get the glory. We got to take the gospel to him. So what's the result? What's the result? The result is it says this, it may be glorified just as it is with you. In other words, Paul is saying this. He's telling them, no, listen, the ones who we're asking you to pray for, we're asking them to be brought out of darkness the same way you were brought out of darkness. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine right now that you were born in Southeast Asia. And you got some crazy Baptist preacher trying to challenge a church to go and adopt you and to bring the gospel to you just because they were rescued. We go because he came and saved us. Hey, listen to this. He's the sent one. We're the sent ones. Listen to what David Black said. The true scandal of the North American church is that while we are getting stuffed with the gospel over and over again, most of the rest of the world is waiting to get a single bite. Not anymore. Not anymore. The result, lastly, the reward. The reward. Now listen. Seeing people saved is not the ultimate reward. I know right now some of you are saying, what in the world? Because hear me, we couldn't save anybody if we tried. Okay? I'm not asking you today to go over there and save them. You can't. Okay, Pastor, so what are you asking me to do? Partner with us? Pray with us. And yes, some of you will go with us so that he'll be glorified. That's what he's asked us to do. Give him the gospel. We preach the gospel. But he does all the saving. And listen, he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. I promise you this. Randy, correct me if I'm wrong. I promise you this. Somebody from the Akha and somebody from the Pinoy will be around God's throne. Somebody will be around God's throne. I just want Ridgecrest to be a part of high-fiving them whenever we see them in glory. Amen? I mean, how cool is that? Say, God, God, you got the glory. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you for giving us a vision. Thank you for giving us the resources to be able to go and to see these people washed in the blood of the Lamb and to give you glory forever and ever 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 and ever. It's all about Him. Isaiah 42:8, I'm the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. I don't know what it feels like down here, but it's burning up here. Listen to this. Woo! Listen to this. John Piper said this. Randy, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and come on up for a moment. God is pursuing with omnipotent passion. God is pursuing with omnipotent passion a worldwide purpose of gathering joyful worshipers for Himself from every tribe, every tongue, and every people and every nation. He has an inexhaustible enthusiasm for the supremacy of His name among the nations. Therefore, let us bring our affections into line with His, and for the sake of His name, let us renounce the quest for worldly comforts and join His global purpose. Matthew 16:18 says, the gates of hell will not prevail, because He's going to build the church on the rock. It's both on Jesus. I'm telling you, there are enemies. Listen to me. Hear me. The enemy has blinded them. He has blinded them. But can I tell you this? He can't stop us. He can hinder us. He can hold us up. But listen to me. The church of God is unstoppable. Do you understand that we are unstoppable? Why? Because of our captain and because of our ship.